Hallo.
Morgen.
Yes, and come on, you had.
All right, thanks. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Great.
Are you having any trouble getting on a conference call? Okay. It's like last night, I tried for 9 minutes before I actually got on. It would just ring and ring and ring. Just a while ago, it did the same thing. And then I tried again, like two or three times. Finally, I got something.
He had, I think his daughter, there was a bar mitzvah, his granddaughter or something.
Well, I knew that after I got on, but it was getting on. I mean, it would just ring and ring and ring and ring, you know, no message of, you know, giving you instructions about the, you know, putting in the code and pressing star one. And just a while ago, I
No.
had the same kind of trouble. I started at like 3 minutes before, just to see if I would experience the same thing, and I did. So, because if you
Oh,
miss 9 minutes, then you've missed half of the prayers, you know.
no,
It's a little bit faster this time.
I think sometimes you have to cut your phone completely off, you know, power it completely down and power it back up. That seems to help. I had to do that the other day, just power it completely down. So maybe after this class you might want to do that.
Well,
And that
I do that. That would be my problem because I do that.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Please join me in saying the Anna Bakoa. Anna Bakoa. Gedulat Shemincha. Lati Sera Aleph Bet Gimel Yitach Tzadi Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Acharenu No Ra Ufresh Ayam Sintet Nun Na gibor dorshe yehudka kevavat Shalom, right? Nun gimel dalet, yud kashin. Barchim tacharen, rachame sidkatcha, tamidegam, right? Beted resh, tzaditaf gimel. Asin kadosh, bero tucha, Nael Adata Et Kufbet Et Nunayan Yachid Geye Lamcha Pene Zokre Kiddushata Yud Gimelamet Pe Zayan Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Taluvot Kinkufav Tzadiyutav. We brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rahum Vechanun, Erech Apayim, Virav Chesed Ve'emet, Notzer Chesed La'alafim, Nosea Won Wafesha, Vechata'a V'nakei. We will now connect to the energy of certainty using a verse from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar that comes from Parashah Yitro. It's Pasuk 29, and we'll start with the Lashem Yehud. Lashem Yehud Kud Shabarichu Ishkinte Bidhilu Urhimud Hilud Hilu Urhimud Leahta Lishem Yudhe Bavate, the Yehuda Shalim Bishem Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, Lasok Torah Mitzvah, Vaihino Amadunai Eloheinu Alein Amasei Adenu Konene, Alein Amasei Adenu Konene. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekamatar Tane Nam Dekut Shabarichu Koma De'aved Le'ela Wittata Kolaihu Kishot Be'ovada Dikshot Ve'le'ilach Mila Be'alma Divaye Barnash Bedach Yaleya Mineya Ulanaga Beyakalana Dehakulu Ovada Dikshot Inun Wikola Isterich Bi Alma. The energy of this current year, 5780, as the revealed energy of compensation and the concealed energy of Shefa. The way we reveal the Shefa and connect it to the compensation is by studying a verse or verses from the Tanakh that connect to both of these energies. Today we're going to study a verse from Leviticus. It's chapter 10, verse 20. Chapter 13, verse 28.
Wein tachteya amod habacheret lo pasta vaor vihi geha beit hamach vahi v'ticharo HaKohen Ki Tzarevet HaMikvahi.
And if the bright spot stay in its place and be not spread in the skin, but be dim, it is the rising of the burning. and the priest shall pronounce him clean, for it is the scar of the burning. The energy of the year 5774 is peace in the Middle East. We study one verse that connects to this energy. It's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wasamti makom leami leYisrael untati wishakan takta willo yirgas od willo yosifu bene avlal anoto ka asher barishona.
Randala.
We will now connect to the energy of the 72 names of God, utilizing the tool of saying each letter with its root vowel out loud in sequence. Wahe wayo layo sayote ala me mehe shi la la he aka aka he ta he sayo ala da la awa he he ya yozala me be he he re yo he ko me la awa ka la yo la wa wa pe he la nu la ha yo 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 me la he 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 wa nu ta he he ya a yo re ta shi a he re yo yo awa me la ka be wa shi re yo he wa la he he ka wa ko me nu da anu yo he a me he re he a yo yo za he 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 me yo ha wa wa la yo la he sa a la re yo a shi la me yo he wa he wa da nu yo he he shi a me me nu nu a nu yo ta me be he te wa yo nu me me yo yo la he re he me ta re wa me be yo he he a nu a me he yo ta me be me nu ko a yo a he be wa re a he be o be me he yo yo me wa me. We will now connect to the 72 names that were revealed by the Tzaddikim utilizing the same tool. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be te ame a ame me be shi la yo he anu a tame ta he he yo anu da la he wa he me a yo sa la me re he he yo yo he me me. La wa wa ka ba ka be yo la yo wa pe nu la nu me ha yo he yo me nu he 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 wa nu yo he he shi a yo re ta shi a he re la yo a wa me la yo be wa he re yo yo wa la he he ka a ko me nu da anu yo he wa me re he a yo he za he shi he me ka ha wa wa la yo yo he sa a la re yo a a la me ta he wa he wa han da la yo he yo shi a la me nu he a nu wa ta me la he te a yo nu ko me yo re la he de he me za re wa he be yo a he a la wa me za yo da he be me ka ko a la a he he wa re la he yo yo me he la yo me he me. The Tzaddikim who left this day, which is the 15th of Tevet, the Amora, who is Mashrisha Bar Pekud of Babel. He's known as the Rav. He's known as the last Tana and the first Amora, which deals with the way the various sages are reflected. Rabbi Raphael of Bershed, Rabbi Chaim Mordechai Rosenbaum of Dat Brorna. We will connect to the Ani meditation, which is how we climb the tree of life. Malchut, Yo Aheni Wa Yohei, Yo Aheni Wa Yohei. Yo Aheni Wa Yohei, Yosod, Yu Ahuni Wu Yohu, Yu Ahuni Wu Yohu, Yu Ahuni Wu Yohu, Od, Yu Ahuni Wu Yohu, Yu Ahuni Wu Yohu, Yu Ahuni Wu Yohu, Netzach, Yi Ahini Wu Yohi. Yi Ahini Wi Yohi, Yi Ahini Wi Yohi. Tiferet, Yo Ahoni Wo Yoho, Yo Ahoni Wo Yoho, Yo Ahoni Wo Yoho. Gevura, Yeach, Ni Wi Yoch, Yeach, Ni Wi Yoch, Yeach, Ni Wi Yoch. Chesed, yeah, anyway your hair, yeah, anyway your hair, yeah, anyway your hair. Bina, yeah, anyway your hair, yeah, anyway your hair, yeah, anyway your hair. Achma, yeah, anyway your hair, yeah, anyway your hair. Ya'ahaniwa yoha. Keter. Ya'ahaniwa yoha. Ya'ahaniwa yoha. Ya'ahaniwa yoha. The Esther Dibrot. The Ten Utterances. Vagaber Elohim et kol ha-divarim ha-ele le-mor. Anochi Hashem Elohecha asher hotzeiticha. Meretz Mitzrayim b'beit avadim. Lo yihye lecha Elohim acherim al panai lo ta'ase lecha. Esel wakol temuna asher b'shamayim mimal v'asher b'aretz mitachat v'asher b'mayim mitachat la'aretz lo tishtachave lachem v'lo tavdem ki anochi Hashem Elohecha El kana poked awom avot al banim al shileishin. We all rebaim lishonai. We all sechesed la lafim. La ohavai ushomre mitzvotai lo tisai et shem Hashem. Elohecha lashav, ki lo yinake. Hashem et asher yisa, et shemo lashav, zachor et yom ha-shabbat, lekadsho. Sheshet yamim, avod v'asita, kol melachtecha. V'yom hashvi shabbat l'ashem, Elohecha lo taseh kol melacha. Ata uvincha uvitecha, avdecha v'yamatcha uvemtecha v'ger.
Shemecha, Asher Bisharecha, Ki Sheshet Yamim Asa, Hashem Et Hashamayim, V'et Haaretz, Et Hayam, V'et Kol Asher Bam, V'yanach Bayom Hashvi, Al Kein Berach, Hashem Et Yom HaShabbat, Vayikat Shehu Kabedet Avicha Yet Imecha Leman Yarikun Yamecha Al Adama Asher Hashem Elohecha Notain Lach Lo Tirzach Lo Tinach Lo Tignov Lo Ta'aneh Bereacha ad shaker lo tachmod, beiteecha lo tachmod ishet reecha, yavdo v'yamato, v'shoro v'chamoro, v'kol asher l'reecha. And now for the Ma meditation. Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Wav, Yud, Hey, Wav, Hey, Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Wav, Yud, Hey, Wav, Hey, Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Wav, Yud, Hey, Wav, Hey, Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Wav, Yud, Hey, Wav, Hey, Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Wav, Yud, Hey, Wav, Hey. The abridged Kaddish, which we use as a elevator to rise to the level of our class today.
And
we all say Amen. Israel. Bagalah v'zman kariv, Yitbarach v'yishtabach v'yipa'ar v'yitromam v'yitnase v'yitadar v'yitale v'yitalal Shemeda kucha, leila min kol birkata v'shirata Tushvechata v'nechamata da'amiran b'alma Yeshlama Rabba Min Shamaya V'chaim Aleinu V'yalko Yisrael V'yimru Amen. O Se Shalom Bimromav V'yase Shalom Aleinu V'yalko Yisrael V'yimru Amen. Our class today can be found in row 8 of the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in the right-hand column where it says the Kevlei Mashiach, the footsteps of Mashiach. When that link opens up, scroll down to class 6. And under class 6, you have the Book of Job. And we are starting today with chapter 2. When that opens up, if you'll scroll back up a little bit, you'll see a link for both on the opening landing page or in this the page dealing with our class, you'll find a link to the Book of Job. Nachon Mamre website, where we will have both Hebrew and English. We are going to start by reading chapter 2, or really, we'd had a previous few classes on Job before we got into the Hanukkah holiday, and also the Shavuot period, which starts last night and today. So let us read the Hebrew and the English for chapter 2 of Job. To remind you, there are previous recordings in the recordings link, and you can find the recordings link on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in the last row, in the third column from the left. And if you do a search for the word Job, or for the word Iyov, I-Y-O-B, you will find the previous recordings all in that same file of the recordings. Chapter 2. We'll start with a L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud, Kudsha Baruch Hu, Ishkinte, Bidkilu, Urchimu, Udkilu, Udkilu, Urchimu, Le'akta, L'shem Yudhe Bavavhe, Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, La'asok Torah Mitzvah, Vayhino Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kurenei Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kurenei. Vayhi Hayom Vayabou B'nei HaElohim Lehityatzev Al Hashem Vayavo gam hasatam betocham lehityatzev al Hashem. Again it fell upon the day that the sons of Elohim came to present themselves before Hashem, and Satan came along also among them to present himself before Hashem. Verse 2 in the English. And Hashem said unto Satan, From where do you come, you? And Satan answered Hashem and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. Without going into the handout, these are very interesting descriptions. Because to and fro in the earth means horizontally, around the earth. But up and down represents the different levels of the earth. As we know, there are seven heavens, there are seven hells, and there are seven earths. Verse 3. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered thy my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a wholehearted and an upright man, one that fears Hashem and shuns evil, and he still holds fast his integrity, although thou didst move me against him to destroy him without cause? And Satan answered Hashem and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that a man has will be he give for his life. That's a question, that verse to me is a question that we have to ask if it's true. We all know people who would rather die than live without their physical connections. And here Satan is saying that the essence of mankind is to give up his physicality when it comes to losing his life. I'm not sure if that's a true statement, but it's being said to Hashem. So Satan must know that that is true for him. But will it be true for each and every one of us as we face our particular issue, just like Job did? And the Hashem said to Satan, "Behold, he is in thy hand. Only spare his life. You can do what you want with him, but you cannot kill him. This is the only order, the only limitation Satan has given with respect to Job." Let us go to the handout now, starting at chapter 2. Health, children, and livelihood are not dependent on merit, but upon mazel. And the Zamra rabbi, Rabbi Abraham, is saying that mazel means fortune. And it's used in that context in the English-Yiddish-Hebrew relationship. Mazal is always said, mazel tov, good luck, is the typical translation. But that's not what mazel is, as we will learn. So far, the Satan had struck at two of the three fundamental pillars of Job's life: his livelihood, meaning his wealth, and his children, his future, his continuity. But even this was not enough of a test to have Job curse Hashem. And I am adding about verse 1. The Torah uses similar language in this verse, in verse 1 of chapter 2, and also in verse 2, that implies that this day is also Rosh Hashanah. But I'm asking the question, is it the second day of Rosh Hashanah, or is it Rosh Hashanah in another year? The question really doesn't matter to the story of Job, but it's a question that I have. It's based on curiosity and our understanding of what the sages say, that Rosh Hashanah is not 2 days, but is one long day. Verse 4. This is returning to the commentary from the Zamra. Skin covers skin. If a person sees a blow coming to the skin of his face, he instinctively raises his hand to protect himself. Preferring to suffer the blow on the skin of his hand in order to protect his head. The Satan argues that Job had been content to suffer the loss of his wealth and his children in order to protect himself from the loss of his life, but claims that as soon as the blow will come to Job's very skin and bones, he will break down and curse Hashem because of his suffering. Hashem now authorizes that Satan submit Job to the worst of all tests, physical illness and pain, as long as he does not actually kill him. And I am adding, do we learn here that someone can lose property and children, yet it takes a separate judgment to employ the illness as a wake-up call? And I will answer my own question. because as we read the Zohar in many places, as we read the Talmud in many places, it explains that each action of Satan requires a judgment. And first, we learn this very clearly directly from the Torah when it talks about the illness of Tzaraat, a spiritual illness that manifests physically. It's translated, Tzaraat is translated as leprosy, but what is leprosy? What is Tzaraat? It's a spiritual illness that we are taught comes from doing Lashon Hara. And initially, Lashon Hara will affect the outer aspects of someone, which we are taught is our house. And if that doesn't work, it will then affect our clothing. And if that doesn't work, only then will it land in our body, but it will be landing on our body in areas that are covered by our clothing. And then if that doesn't work as a wake-up call, it will then become visible to other people on our skin. We will not be able to cover it up because you can't hide your face. You can't hide your arms in a society that uses short-sleeved shirts. And only then will things like cancer happen on the inside of our body. This is the way of the universe. This is the way Hashem has set up his government. You're given many opportunities to change. Will you? Will you recognize these opportunities? I'm continuing to read. Actually, let's return to the Nechon Mamre, to the reading of Job. In verse 7, Vayetze ha-satan me'et b'nei Hashem v'yach et Yov b'chivra mikach radlo v'yad kad kado. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, from the presence of Hashem, and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his feet even unto his crown. The word for unto is the word wiyad. And you'll notice the difference between the written and the read word is a connecting vowel. But the word that is written is ad, ayin dalet, which means witness. And yes, elsewhere in the Torah, Ad can mean a connecting word, like unto. But how does it change if we say that he smote Job with boils from the sole of his feet, witnessing unto his frown? It explains what I just explained, that when something happens to the skin of the body, it does so first in areas where that cannot be seen, and then eventually to where it can be seen. Verse 8. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself therewith, and he sat among the ashes of his home, the ashes of the loss of his children. Then said his wife to him, "Do thou still hold fast to thine integrity? Blaspheme God and die. In his generation, if you took God's name in vain, there was no space for teshuvah, especially after you'd be given all of these different warnings, wake-up calls." Verse 10, but he said to her, "You speak as one of the impious women speaks. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of Hashem, and shall we not receive evil? For all this, did not Job sin with his lips? For all that has happened to him, Job did not sin with his lips," which was the contest between Hashem and Job. The real issue that we are not addressed with as of yet is, why is Job chosen to be a contest between Satan and Hashem? We have explained that earlier in what the Zohar says happens to Job. The Zohar explains it as giving Satan one person to be busy with so that he can redeem the children of Israel without conflict and without Satan paying attention. Verse 11. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place. Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Sophar the Naamanite. And they made an appointment together to come to bemoan him and to comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept. And they rent every one his mantle and threw dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and seven nights. And none spoke a word upon him, for they saw that his grief was very great. What you're seeing described here is the process of Shiva, of sitting with the mourner for 7 days and nights while he mourns and trying to comfort the mourner and basically comforting a mourner means quietly just to listen. Sometimes silence is a way to comfort mourners. Verse 13. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and seven nights, and none spoke a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. As we said, we've learned through my life experience, and I'm sure through many of yours, silence in the face of grief and mourning is a beneficial approach. Returning to the handout, Job's wife sees his terrible suffering and asks him what point there is in continuing to serve Hashem now that he has lost everything. He might as well curse his bad fortune and die, since he has nothing to live for. Job answers her with another immortal line. Shall we accept the good from Hashem and not accept the bad? Remember a teaching from the Kabbalah. It's hard to hear. There is no word in the Torah for religion. Once that is understood, one understands that religion is the creation of mankind to help explain Hashem's words in the Torah. But how many people, how many religions teach that what comes from Hashem is good, always good, even if we perceive it as bad? This is a very significant teaching. It's something very difficult for people. And most religions do not teach this, because to teach this implies that there is no reason to be good, to get good from Hashem. And that is really the issue. How can you get good by being good when the world does not appear that way? The purpose of everything is to serve Hashem. How one serves Hashem is to share what good one receives from Hashem back to Hashem, creating a circuit of energy. Hashem shares with us, we share back with Hashem. This is the consciousness of what we are doing in a blessing. When we bless the food we eat, when we bless the synagogue, when we walk into it, whenever we are doing a blessing, we are sharing back to Hashem, creating the circuit of energy. But how do you do that when it's painful, when it's harmful, when we don't see the hand of Hashem behind the action? And that is a level of emunah. The level of faith. And we teach in the Kabbalah not about faith and not about trust. That you will find in the Talmud. We teach about certainty, of knowing that everything that comes from Hashem, whether we perceive it as good or we perceive it not good, everything comes from Hashem. Continuing to read. In verse 11, our text testifies that even in the face of this terrible physical suffering, Job did not sin with his lips. Doesn't mean he didn't sin in his mind. Doesn't mean he wasn't thinking what his wife was saying. Doesn't mean he wasn't listening to her. But he did not sin with his lips. The Talmud infers that with his lips he did not sin, but he sinned in his heart. What did he say? The earth is given into the hand of the wicked. He covers the faces of its judges. And this implies that in his heart, Job wondered if there is really Hashem, really a God, really justice in the world. Since most of us have such thoughts at one time or another, it is somewhat comforting that even the righteous Job could not avoid them. Had he never had any doubts at all, he would have been a plastic tzaddik, an unrealistic tzaddik. The fact that he did have them makes him all the more real. Verse 11. And three friends of Job heard, given that they all lived at great distances from one another in the days before emails and phones and faxes, how did they know that their friend was in trouble? Some say that they each had a crown on which was modeled the faces of each one of them. And when suffering befell one of them, his face changed. Others say that he each had a tree, and because it withered, they knew. Who can say that they didn't communicate with each other telepathically? Who said, does it say that they came and visited him? I think it does, but we have to wait to see. But his three friends knew, just as a mother knows when something happens to their children, even though they're not physically present. There is a connection between people. If only you would listen and become aware. When Job's friends arrived, they could not even recognize him because of his abject suffering. Nobody could bring himself to speak for 7 days until at last Job opened his mouth and cursed his day, as we will see in the following chapter. From the description of how Job's friends sat down on the ground to empathize with him, and did not speak until he spoke first, the rabbis learned several important laws of conduct for those coming to comfort mourners. And I am adding, it is said that the death of children is the worst pain. So why is illness the last of the three pillars inflicted on Job? And I am adding, in verse 11, the names and countries of the three friends are important to analyze to learn what we can learn, and we will bring these analyses in the appropriate locations. That is the end of our chapter 2 commentary. It is the end of our reading of chapter 2, the end of our class. While you're unmuting yourself in order to ask questions, and I hope you will, we have a class today at 3 o'clock West Coast time that is our advanced reincarnation class, where we will continue our study, which we have been away from for a few weeks. Monday, we will have two classes, one at 4:30, the Deeper Zohar class, and one at 7, where we will have the writings of the Ari. Are there any questions? Seems that nobody has questions. Or you're still unmuting yourself, so I'll give it another few seconds. And I wish you all a Shavua Tov, a good week, a week. Go ahead.
One starts having things happen to them. Are they supposed to think along the terms of Job?
Yes.
I didn't understand her question. I didn't hear it well.
Her question is if things happen in our life, are we supposed to be reactive or proactive in the same way that Job is? And my answer is yes. Providing you strive to be a tzaddik or a tzaddeket. doesn't mean it's easy to do. Remember the adage, it's always simple, it's never easy. And it is very difficult. And we need to sympathize and empathize with people going through these experiences. But learning to be like Job is very much real. Job is a book that is meant to be read and understood in each and every generation and each and every person.
So,
any other questions?
So what are your steps to that?
Finding mushrooms.
What are my steps? What are my steps to become a righteous person?
How do you overcome that? I mean, if that process happening and you were not aware of it happening, and overcome it.
Bernice, we're always aware of it happening. We just may not choose to become aware and recognize it. The signs are there. The openness is there. We just choose not to want to change. We continue to think that what we are doing is right because we evaluate the physical world and we use that same evaluation system to evaluate the spiritual world, and they're different. And that's why what Kabbalah studied allows us to do is to understand that difference. It's not easy, but it is simple.
I'd like to add a comment.
Go ahead, Hannah.
Well, one of the basic things that I've learned over the years is to ask myself, why am I doing this particular thing? It may look like a mitzvah. Let me take the example of challah. Okay. If I'm thinking, oh, I want recognition because I bake this challah, or I want to hear people say, oh, it tastes so good, it tastes like cake. Those are things that have been said to me. And I had to just make sure that when I bake that challah, which most of the time I'm doing prayers while I'm doing it, prayers for different people, you know. But if I have the motivation that anything has to do with me with making that challah and that I'm not doing it for the love of Hashem, then I've had the wrong motivation. So that's like step one that I think was questioning my motivation on everything I do. Maybe that'll help, Bernice.
You question your motivation on everything you do? Is that what you say?
That, yes. That is what you said, yes. And your comment is appreciated, Thomas.
Thank you.
And then do you find you get a sense of response to your question?
Well, I just think that it just helps me to stay focused, that no matter what I do, you know, like pretty soon it's going to be the half shekel. Okay, why do I want to give a half shekel for a project that half shekels are sent to soldiers? Well, you know, I think to myself, well, I really think that when I do that, that it's going to be a blessing on our own American soldiers. But this morning I got to thinking again, okay, there it is. I'm not doing it because it's a mitzvah, because Hashem commands about the half shekel. You see, so I had to step back and think, okay, that's not the reason.
to be part of that project. Yes, maybe the blessing will come by giving a half shekel to be handed to the soldiers in Israel. And maybe our soldiers in America, from America, will be blessed. But when I do that, I have to be doing it because I see the mitzvah attached to the half shekel as written in the Torah, and not because I want American soldiers to be blessed as much as Israeli soldiers. So you see the thinking, most of the time the motivation is good and valid, but it may not quite be at the level where it boils down, like Hanok said a while ago, to the love of the Creator.
Let me add to what Hannah has said. When we pray, if you are looking for an answer to your prayers, then you don't understand prayer. When we pray, we are trying to change ourselves so that Hashem will allow that desire to be fulfilled. The only reason we don't have what we are praying for is because we don't have the merit for it. Hashem wants to share it with us. But if he were to share it with us, it would only cause us harm. And he won't do that. He shares with us when we have earned it. He shares with us when we have changed ourselves so that we can receive that merit. We can receive that prayer's fulfillment. If you are asking to hear an answer, to see an answer to a prayer, you're barking up the wrong tree. You're barking up the tree of knowledge, good and evil. And that's a cycle of up and down that we have been in for 34,000 years, 3,000 to 4,000 years. The change has to be you do it because this is what you want to do to share with Hashem. If you're doing it with an expectation to receive, you pray with an expectation you will receive, you're not sharing with Hashem and you're not changing yourself. This is the action that we need to learn. And it's very simple to describe, but it is never easy to do. And it's important that we feel the other person's pain. It's important that we empathize with that other person because we have all experienced it. And sometimes we do it properly, and sometimes we fall back. Are there any other questions?
I have a comment.
Go ahead, Brandy.
Job has always been one of my kind of favorite stories. And what came to me when you were talking about Job and the things that were happening to him and how his heart was different from his, you know, his mind, but I was thinking, is that the reason maybe that God sends converts back to Judaism is so that we can be the Jobs for whatever congregation we're in?
I don't think that's a question that I'm capable of answering at this moment. But I appreciate your comment.
Thank you.
There are many reasons. There are many reasons why people convert. And there are many reasons when they're not true reasons, that a convert falls back, as we know many converts do.
Right.
But it isn't up to me or anyone else to evaluate a convert. That is the process of the Bet Din, of the judicial court. And that's also the process in the person's individual heart. I am aware of a friend of mine when I was studying Kabbalah at the Kabbalah Center. He was very connected to the Rav, to Karen. He was clear that he would not become involved with a woman who was not a Jewish woman. And a woman was attracted to him. And she decided to convert. And on the morning of her Bet Din, she freaked out and didn't continue. It's a very difficult process, as those of you who have converted know. And those of you who have not converted should try to understand the difficulty in making a change of your life that is that significant. Are there any other questions?
Thank you.
Thank you, Brandy. You all have a beautiful week. Shavuot Tov. Hopefully we'll see you in other classes as well. Shalom.
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 Shavuot Tov.